Welcome to In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno. Thanks for joining us. Today, a discussion about computer science education. Joining us is Sean Roberts from Code.org, a nonprofit organization that is working to expand computer science education in schools. Mr. Roberts is Director of State Government Affairs for Code.org, and he joins us now via Skype from Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us, Sean.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Now, your organization works to provide more computer science learning opportunities. You also are working to provide more access and opportunities for females and underrepresented communities. How is your group doing that?
Yeah, well, really the important thing we found in computer science education as far as expanding access is giving students the opportunity. And that's really what it's about. You know, making sure that students have equitable opportunities, because traditionally those opportunities have only been made to certain subsets of students. We find students from all demographic backgrounds love computer science. It's up there with kids' favorite subjects, with art and music and those sorts of traditional fun classes, I guess. So kids love it, and giving them the opportunity to learn it really kind of lights a spark and brings them forward. Just this past year at Code.org, we passed 11 million girls who are using Code.org to learn coding and computer science. That's a tremendous achievement we've had, and one that if just 1% of those girls that have created accounts on Code.org and use Code.org to learn coding and computer science go on to major in computer science, it would actually completely eliminate the gender gap in the current tech workforce.
Now, you focus on state policy. Before we talk about that, can we pull back the lens a little bit and talk about how the United States is doing when it comes to computer science education in schools, grades K through 12?
Yeah, I think across the U.S., excuse me, across the U.S., you know, one of the problems has been there are isolated pockets of great computer science programs, because this is such a foundational skill and fundamental to how kids are going to understand the world around them and be have the knowledge base to be eligible for the jobs now and in the future. It's really important that we're expanding that access to every district and every school across the country. So we certainly have pockets of success, and we're seeing that momentum build where more and more states are coming on board. In the past 5 years alone, there's been over 40 states that have made changes to their computer science education policies. So that shows, gives you some idea of the scope of the momentum carrying us forward as a country overall in terms of what states are doing for computer science education.
Your organization says that New Mexico has currently over 1,700 computing jobs available that are open. Without any set computer science standards or any type of policy in place for grades K through 12 here in New Mexico, what are the chances that those jobs are going to be filled by New Mexicans? I mean, is this looking like it's going to be either outsourced or bringing people in from outside of the state to fill these positions?
Yeah, it's a challenge, and certainly not just one we see in New Mexico, but in other states as well, having the workforce to be able to keep up with demand. But I would actually also add that those are just the statistics on open computing jobs right now. What we actually know is that this impacts every industry across all kind of sectors of employment. So it's not just the jobs in computing or what people might traditionally think of as tech jobs, but agriculture jobs are increasingly becoming tech jobs. I can give you an example. In Wyoming, recently had the pleasure to meet a student who's lived on a ranch. His family has owned a ranch his whole life. And he actually developed an app for his family ranch to track cattle vaccinations and parental lineage. And that's really important to his ranch. And instead of keeping it on yellow notebook paper, now his family has another tool at their disposal that's going to save time and money and effort. And they're going to be able to have a larger yield of production. So I'd just say these aren't just tech jobs where these skills are going to be important. It's for all sectors of employment, but even beyond employment, just having the foundational knowledge of how computers work and being a creator of technology is so important as a 21st century skill for life. As parents, we want to protect our kids and our families. And one way to do that is to know how networks work and how the internet works. So we really see these as skills that are not just important for tech jobs, but all sectors of employment, and also just as a foundational part of knowledge that kids are going to need as they grow into adults.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about state policy. Last year, the New Mexico legislature passed SB 134 to provide more CS learning opportunities for students in New Mexico to get credit for science or math at the high school level. However, that was vetoed by Governor Susana Martinez, and currently, as we tape this episode, it's in limbo in court. Without a set policy, without a law in or any type of initiative put into effect, what does that do to the amount of students in New Mexico that are taking AP computer science classes and the amount of students that may move on to study computer science in a higher learning institution?
Yeah, we know that opportunities like the one you mentioned, where computer science counts for a credit, actually does expand access and opens doors to traditionally underrepresented minorities and female students. When it counts toward graduation requirements, you naturally have more students that are able to take that as part of their regular schedule. So you increase diversity of participation with those type of policies. Certainly other policies that would be important for New Mexico moving forward would also expand access, like having computer science standards. That's really a critical piece of ensuring that first we have a common definition of what computer science is. Computer science is not being a user of technology or being able to use apps, although that's certainly important. And it's not keyboarding, which again is an important skill for students to have, but that's not what we're talking about when we talk about computer science. So having the right policy environment in place is really important to expanding access. Otherwise, we're going to keep getting what we've always kind of had in relation to computer science, which is small pockets of success where we hope that there's an interested teacher or a qualified teacher that has come on and got certified in computer science or has an endorsement for computer science education in a particular school. So we can leave it up to chance and kind of hope that happens, and there are small pockets of success, or we can create policies that encourage broad participation and close that achievement gap.
Now I want to talk about that last part that you just brought up, teachers, having certified teachers. I've spoken with many different education officials who deal with computer science in different states, and that seems to be a major issue. Teacher capacity, the ability to have enough teachers to teach the material that's needed with computer science. The way New Mexico is set up right now, if, say, this law, SB 134, would be put into effect, does New Mexico currently have enough teachers in able to put this forward?
That's certainly an important question to raise. We're only going to go as far as teachers take us on this. They're the most important and crucial part to expanding computer science education. They're ultimately the ones that have to teach the courses. I would argue that New Mexico does have the teachers to teach computer science. And we found at code.org, we've trained over 70,000 teachers nationally. And what we've seen is those teachers have similar results to ones that are traditionally prepared and perhaps coming from a undergraduate computer science education background. You can train up a workforce both in elementary and in high school to teach computer science. We've seen teachers come from all sorts of different fields, from English language arts to coming and teaching computer science because their school was starting a new program and they thought it would be great, and now they're fantastic computer science teachers. Former science teachers or current science teachers, math teachers, media specialists, librarians. Really, we've seen the whole spectrum of teachers that you can train up and sort of expand access that way through training teachers and building up your workforce that way. Now, that's not a long-term permanent solution, but it's a good way to kind of jumpstart the system and light a fire in a state so you have enough teachers to teach computer science. And then at the same time, you're building back-end policies so that we're training teachers as they're coming out of undergraduate or as their undergraduates receiving their training so that they're prepared to teach computer science when they're ready to come into the classroom.
Now, it seems like, you know, when computer science initiatives are put forward in different states, you know, it may be easier for schools in larger school districts, in larger communities, to adapt because they may already be offering computer science courses. What about the rural schools? What about the schools that do not have a computer science course already in place or perhaps infrastructure? How can rural schools adapt to initiatives that may be put forward with computer science education? I mean, what are the chances that they get lost in this thing? I mean, because you're talking about teachers that may have to stay after school or just try to find the time to teach this material.
It's something we think about a lot. And there are a lot of creative solutions. We've seen smaller rural districts all over the country really be able to implement computer science with in really effective and creative ways. I think in some respects, smaller or more rural districts sometimes have an additional flexibility that's actually a benefit to being able to ramp up new programs quickly. All that said, there certainly are challenges sometimes with access or just having enough teachers in the building in general. And that's why it's so important that we get teachers trained and qualified to teach computer science so that those students aren't left farther behind. But certainly districts and small schools have only benefited from their own creativity and how they've made it important to and made it a priority to expand computer science education opportunities for their own students.
What states seem to be ahead of the curve when it comes to teaching computer science? What are the things that they're doing that other states aren't?
Yeah, there are a lot of great examples of states that have made such great momentum over the past several years. Arkansas being one that is has really done a lot to put policies in place that are going to expand access all over the state. We just recently had two legislatures pass bills that would require computer science in all schools, K through 12 in their state. Indiana and Wyoming both passed those recent bills. But I think what these states have in common is first, they expand access and the opportunities to all schools and all students. So all students and all families have that option to take computer science. That's really important, as we talked about, for equity and making sure that all students have equitable opportunity to take those classes. So when you have a program in place like that, where all schools are going to offer, the two biggest questions are, well, what are you going to teach? And that's an important question to answer. And that's why it's so important to have standards, academic standards, so that students and teachers and districts know what's expected of them when we're talking about computer science programs. And then the second question is, well, who's going to teach it? And again, making sure that there are qualified instructors in every classroom that can guide students along and help them meet those standards is of crucial importance. And so what we've seen states do that has been really effective is they've actually invested in making sure that there are dollars allocated toward training teachers in computer science. When those professional development funds are really an investment in the future, and we see a couple things come out of that. First, you have more qualified teachers to reach across the state, whether they're in an urban or rural area or somewhere in between, so that there's a teacher in the classroom. But then also you kind of see a multiplier effect where when you have all those teachers that have been trained in computer science, kids are coming out of their K-12 experience with those skills because they've been taught it. And then by the time they get to college, they're already familiar with it and already to teach the next generation. So that's why it's critically important that we invest in professional development for our educators who are going to lead the way in ensuring that students have equitable access to computer science opportunities.
Sean, we just have under a minute left, but I want to ask you a question about what the response is from private companies who may be looking to invest in some of these states that have invested in computer science education. What are some of the things that you're seeing? Are there some partnerships building and you know, more opportunities for people to obtain jobs after they get this training?
For sure, there are great partners and great programs out there that are coming from industry that can be a part of this discussion as well. Certainly the Microsoft TEALS program, which prepares, which takes current employees or engineers in their company and pairs them with classroom teachers to help be sort of technical advisors to the parts of computer science or coding that teachers may not feel as comfortable with, is a great example of one of those types of partnerships. And actually with that program, through Microsoft, they found that 97% of teachers who were paired with one of their professionals were able to teach computer science on their own and did continue to teach computer science on their own within 2 years. So that's really a fantastic example of how some of these public-private partnerships can work and ensuring that the next generation is really prepared to take advantage of these opportunities.
Sean Roberts with Code.org, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And we want to thank you for joining us for In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno.